You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Budget season in Lansing is officially underway. Governor Snyder today released his new budget for fiscal year 2018. So let's dig into this $56.3 billion package as we welcome Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta and from Gongwer News Service, welcome to Zach Gorchow. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So overall, is this budget spendy or savey, Rick?
Yes. There's something on both sides. That certainly a lot of attention has been paid to paying down debts, including long-term debts, with an eye toward dealing with some retirement costs. The governor is trying to, call a lot of attention to the fact that if he has his way, that the state's budget stabilization fund, its rainy day savings, will hit $1 billion for the first time since the Great Recession. That's still half of what it was before that period of time. But he says that that's a pretty important benchmark, since when he took office, the rainy day fund, if it needed to be rated for that purpose, wouldn't have kept the state operating for 30 minutes. So, there's that on that side. But, he's talking about spending on infrastructure, more money for colleges and universities, community colleges, worker retraining, some bumps for K-12 education, including an additional, basically on top of the usual per pupil grant, some extra money for high school students. So I'd say that there's spending and savings in this.
And Zach, where do you see it on the continuum of spending a lot and saving like mad? Where is he?
I'd say it probably notches a little bit more toward the spending side than the saving side, but not by much. I mean, it really does kind of split the difference. Rick kind of laid out all the ways. I mean, what you don't see here, which is why I put it more on the spending side, is you don't see any like wholesale cuts or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Now, there probably will be a few items that get phased away, but nothing that's really going to set the Capital City on fire and send armies of lobbyists in to try to prevent these things from happening.
Let's dig in a little more with what's in it for education, starting with higher ed. What is the governor offering to higher ed?
There's a $36.6 million increase for the state's 15 public universities if you look at them in total. Now, of course, the decisions are made university by university, and the idea here is to get the sum total of aid to those 15 universities back to where it was in 2011 before the 2011-12 budget, which had a 15% cut. There would still be a few universities that are not totally made whole from that point onward, but it's been a point of priority for the governor since that huge first cut his first year in office to try to bring them back up to where they were.
And how about K-12?
So this, to me, I think is the most interesting aspect of the entire budget. There's some really big stuff in here.
And I would say this is the one area that sort of defies the expectation that you just laid out, that we wouldn't see an army of lobbyists coming in to oppose something.
Mm-hmm. So the big news to me was two things. One, Rick mentioned the extra funding per pupil for high school students. We've never done this in the state. It's always been a set per pupil amount, whether you're in first grade or 12th grade. There's always been a feeling, though, especially those in the school community, saying it costs more to educate a high school student than an elementary or middle school student. And no one's ever really disagreed with that. It's just sort of been, well, this is the way we do it, and this is the way it's always going to be.
And this matters in the era of charters.
Sure,
right,
does.
Because most charter schools are K-5 or K-8. There are very few charter high schools. So already you're seeing the charter school lobby saying, hey, wait a second. You're going to be pushing more money from the school aid fund into the traditional public schools, and that's not going to go to us.
And they're saying that this violates a principle of education funding in the state, which is that the funding follows the student instead of the funding is based on a facility. And that's why they're pushing back on this, because they see this as the budget in total as taking a slice out of virtual schools, which is something that charter schools have been moving into. And like Zach pointed out, most charters don't operate high schools and, take on the additional expense that goes with that. And, the budget director said, Al Pasholka said today, well, if they want to, they can get that extra money for high school students, too.
And so, that virtual school piece, that's going to be pretty significant, too. So not a lot of people, I think, really understand this, but there is a segment of charter schools in the state that are purely online. They are outside of the usual traditional public school realm, but they are operated by charter schools. But they get the same per pupil grant as a regular charter or regular traditional public school. And there have been a lot of people who have said, well, wait a minute. They don't have to pay janitors. They don't have to pay for heating and cooling.
They don't have the bricks and mortar and the support personnel.
And the maintenance, that's required. So why should they get less? So the governor's proposing that their foundation grant on a pure pupil basis would drop by 20%. And this is going to be a really interesting battle in the legislature between the charter schools and the traditional schools and the governor on this.
Well, we'll watch for that. Also, Rick, you talked about the tax cuts versus fattening up the rainy day fund. How much does this put him on a collision course with the legislature?
Well, you know, it's tough to say on budget day because we're still in the period where everybody's talking nice and saying, well, overall, you know, we're good with this. However, especially among the House Republicans, including House Speaker Tom Leonard and Appropriations Chairwoman Laura Cox, they both say that they want to find room in this budget for an income tax rollback. And the governor's response is, I'm open to that discussion, but you need to show me where you will cut or the additional revenue source that you will find in order to make that happen, that it's certainly not going to happen in a vacuum.
And in the Snyder era, which, of course, has been an era where the Republicans have had total control of the legislature, I can't ever remember the governor and his team at a budget presentation trying to preemptively undermine something the legislature was wanting to do. They spent a great deal of time today talking about all of the tax relief or fee relief that has been passed in previous years but is about to come online.
For
years to come.
Yeah. Okay.
That their numbers are $2.1 billion in tax or fee relief over the next 3 years from decisions that have already happened. So they're clearly laying down a marker that there's no need to pass additional tax relief. We've already got it. And oh, by the way,
there's more coming.
Yeah, there's more coming. And it's fiscally risky. Those are my words, not theirs, because of all the spending commitments for the general fund in the coming years, namely the road funding.
Wait. Am I sniffing politics here from the governor's side?
Well, from both sides, you know.
That's never been his thing. He's the idea guy, and he puts it out there. But this sounds like
every governor engages in politics. It's just part of the job.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk about politics, I would say there's politics on both sides of this, since like I said, the Republican leadership in particular is coming in and talking about this, but, you know, not saying where, at this point anyway, you know, they think the money for that ought to come from.
Hey, what's in there for infrastructure, Zach?
So the governor has talked about setting up a separate infrastructure fund to deal especially with things like water infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So the idea right now is he's proposing $20 million into this fund. And while that sounds like a lot, that is a pittance in terms of the overall need. And the governor would agree.
The number goes into the billions.
Yes. The governor's own infrastructure task force pegged it at a $4 billion annual gap between what the state currently has for infrastructure and what it needs. But I think the governor is hoping to at least just get the ball rolling and start setting aside some funding for this.
Well, he called it seed
money. The needs are massive. Yeah.
Yeah, just to get it going. How about Flint water? Is there anything specifically new for Flint?
Well, there's another $50 million, $48.8 million to be specific, that goes towards things like cartridge replacement, nutrition programs, because that's considered very important to help kids, ward off some of the effects of lead exposure. But, half that money, $25 million, is just set aside in a reserve fund for whatever comes up during the course of the next fiscal year. And the budget director, Al Pasholka, said that potentially could be a lead pipe replacement if that's identified as a need.
I know there's a lot of other items. There's more money for the Michigan State Police and all. But for both of you, where do you see the biggest potential roadblocks or conflicts for the governor? What's going to have the toughest time getting through? I'll start with you, Zach.
Well, I think this tax cut piece, is really the governing item on this whole thing, because the House Republicans are kind of looking with a wayward eye at the proposed increased funding to higher education. I don't think they're really excited about that. You could see the House Republicans saying, "Well, let's just do less on the higher education side, and we can reserve that for a tax cut." That to me you know, how the tax cut discussion ends is going to be the big debate.
And I don't think if you're one of the class of House Republican freshmen who came in this year that you're going to go back to your constituents and say, well, I got elected in order to take credit for tax cuts passed by earlier legislatures. And that's not going to happen. And I think we could also see a fight between the charters and the administration play out in on the legislative front on that K-12 money.
Thank you so much for walking us through the governor's new budget. Rick Pluta, Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief, and Zach Gorchow from Gangwer News Service. Always great talking with you both. Thank you.
Glad to do it.
Thank you.